journey of a lifetime.
From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of heart through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are back with another fantastic program and episode coming to you from Durban, South Africa. And mashallah, in tonight's program, we have our honorable, beloved Sayyid Muhammad Madani, mashallah. Subhanallah. We say shukran to Mawlana Sahib for joining us in today's program. And we had, mashallah, a very beautiful discussion with other ulamas, scholars, as well as with Mawlana Sahib, mashallah, in the previous discussion. And we're hoping and we make dua that Allah Kareem accepts from us our qurbani and our sacrifices for his pleasure that we perform. Alhamdulillah. In yesterday's episode, we have spoken about, subhanallah, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah.
MashaAllah.
And mashaAllah, we had with us in the studio Ziyad Madani Hafidahullah, mashaAllah. What a beautiful program was it, Mawlana Sahib, mashaAllah. And many things that were uncovered during the discussion in relation to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed life, so on and so forth. And you know, we learn that from the lives of these pious personalities, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how high and what level was their tawakkul and trust reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. When he said, Allah is sufficient for me, to what extent he actually meant that. Of course, his iman is upon that.
Right.
But the fact that, look at the optimum level of his tawakkul, that he's being thrown into the fire and he does not worry about anything because he says, my Lord knows my condition. This suffices me that my Allah knows my state and my condition.
Allah.
So, subhanallah, today, Ya Sayyidi, you know, people say that honesty is a signature of the truthful people.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Honesty is a signature of the truthful, subhanallah. And honesty actually is the first chapter in the book of wisdom.
Subhanallah.
If we have not studied honesty, and if a person is not honest in his life, then how else would he excel in life, Ya Sayyidi? Mm. Honesty is the best policy and the only policy in his life. We should be honest in all our actions, and this actually reminds us of the blessed son of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, for whom Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ.
Subhanallah.
So we are commanded to remember Ismail in the book. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. Subhanallah. He was true to his word, Ya Sayyidi.
Subhanallah.
So this is a quality, an amazing quality from amongst all the qualities that Allah Kareem speaks about your honesty. Your honesty is praised.
And that's highlighted.
It's highlighted. And until the day of Qiyamah, your honesty is highlighted. In every country, whoever reads the Quran day and night, they speak about the honesty of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And this reminds us of how honest we need to be in our lives.
Yes.
And trust me, Sayyidi, today we are living in times when you can't even trust your own blood brother with anything, any message, any amana. That's why they have so many segregations and so much of disputes within families. Trust is all lost. And this is one of the signs of Qiyamah, 100%. But Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's level of trust and his level of truthfulness and honesty, Allahu Akbar, is to such an extent that just once somebody said to him, Sayyidi, I'm going to be back in a moment's time. And just as we say, abhi aapko call karenge, kuch hi der mein. Abhi aapko message karte na, kuch hi der mein. Arre abhi aate hai na, kuch hi der mein. Abhi mulaqat karenge na, kuch hi der mein. We say this, I'll see you just in a few moments time. I'll catch up with you. Don't worry, I'll send it to you. Don't worry, you're going to receive it before you reach your destination. You're going to get it. We make these promises day and night. And person said to Nabi Ismail, I'll be back. And he did not come for 3 days.
That person.
And Allah. 3 days later, he found Nabi Ismail standing at the very same spot waiting for him.
Subhanallah.
Different level of honesty, Sayyidi. So the truth is that, subhanallah, you know, honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. This is meant by this, Ya Sayyidi. To the extent that even when he said to his father, when his father asked him, what is your eye? What is your opinion? What do you have to say about this dream? I mean, look at the trust the father has with his son at that age, knowing that in today's day and age, if we know our son is not to carry out a certain action that you want to do for your son, we will sugarcoat it. We will make it look easy and not difficult upon the nafs so that your child can act upon that action.
Right.
But Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has so much of yaqeen in his son. Ki jo main baat apne bete se kahunga, wo sahi baat hi bolega.
And yet he was approximately 7 to 13 years.
7 to 13 years, Sayyidi. So consider what your eyes, consider what your opinion is about this matter that I have seen. Me sacrificing you in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. A son had given, what an answer. Now the Quran speaks about this as well, that see, he kept his word. He said to his father, Abba, you do as you have been commanded to do. If you have seen yourself sacrificing me in that dream, then carry out this action. And most definitely, subhanallah, you will find me patiently enduring all of that. So he gave his zaban, he gave his word, he gave his tongue that you will find me in this way. And Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, as per the teachings of Quran Pak, subhanallah, this is how he was. That is when the nida was given, O Ibrahim, you have made the dream come true.
Subhanallah.
So in this verse, we learn that once again, that he made the dream come true. Subhanallah. So this type of children, Sayyidi, is very hard to get. From a little age, glad tidings was given to him before his birth. He is that child for whom his father asked Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, in his du'as, that bless me with a pious child. And here, subhanallah, even the basharat and the glad tidings is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah Kareem is going to bless him with a pious awlad, with a child who's intelligent, subhanallah, a child who's wise, subhanallah, a child who's pious, who's God-fearing, who's a messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask for a child, but look at all the qualities that's coming with the child, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. So this is the life of Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidi. Yet, subhanallah, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, who do we make our idol, our role model? You know, who do we take as our mentor? Who do we take as a person whom should we follow? Islam has given us so many role models to follow, subhanallah. And our Aqa and Master sallallahu alayhi wasalam stands as the head of all these examples that you can think of. Unparalleled, unmatched, subhanallah. Look at the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidi, you know, this really caught my attention. And the more you read it, the more you understand that level of honesty is something so important. That is why Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi as well, when he was asked, you know, how have you attained this maqam? How have you reached the state? And he said, on the basis of truthfulness.
Allah.
On the basis just of truthfulness, Sayyidi. And unfortunately, in this day and time, we can't be truthful to our own selves. We make lies, and we something which is a truth, we can turn the truth into a lie. And people are experts in this. They can manipulate situations and change situations.
They call it a white lie.
A white lie. Allah Kareem has put parada over our sins and our faults. And hum dua karte hain ki Allah Kareem may forgive our sins.
Ameen.
Allah Azza wa Jalla pardon our sins. And this is the unique style of the pious people, mashallah, that they cover the sins and the problems of others. They rectify in a good way. Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's qualities is unparalleled, Ya Sayyidi. Which amazing quality do you want to hear or do you want to see? Any Madani Pearls Mahasab would like to share, inshallah.
Subhanallah, Mahasab. You know, there are so many beautiful aspects when it comes to the life of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And as we know, mashallah, you've mentioned yesterday, you've talked about the beloved father of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And today we are discussing Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. As you know, Murasab, we have mentioned about his truthfulness, about his honesty. And if we have to just rewind a bit, you know, something really amazing that that struck me, where Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam and his beloved mother Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were left in Makkah al-Mukarramah by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we all know this waqiyah and this incident where it was a barren land, etc. But nonetheless, they were there, and Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, she found that her son is now thirsty. The water skin, the water bag that she had with her, it finished. And she also became thirsty, and she couldn't produce enough milk for her beloved son. So at this point, she went on a hilltop, and that's how we today, we perform sa'i between Safa and Marwa seven times because of the practice of Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha. So when she came back, the angel, either by its foot or by its wing, struck the ground, and Zamzam water erupted from there. Now, the narration mentions that Zamzam water, as we know, it's for drink and it's for food as well. And Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she saw the Zamzam water, what she did was, and this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith wherein he says that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the beloved mother of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, that had she not made a pool or gather around that Zamzam water, had she not made a pool, then Zamzam water would be a flowing spring up until this day,
Allah,
until the day of Qiyamah. So this is also, you know, a very fascinating point, because people may think that Zamzam water, you know, it's just as we see it today, whereas back then it could have been flowing, but because Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, out of the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she made a pool out of it, and Zamzam water today as we know it is a well. And through that, the thirst of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam got quenched. And this murasab was one aspect in the beginning stages, right? As we go along, we find that it was only Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha and only Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. There was no other human being. There was no sign of any other person at all.
Right.
So what happened here was a tribe, the tribe of Jurhum. These people, they were travelers in a caravan, etc. And they came across, they saw from a distance that there were birds circulating in a specific spot in one area. So they sent an informer to go and see what's happening. Informer went, he saw that, you know what, there's water over here. Where there's water, there's life. Where there's life, there's people. So he went back to his people. He said, you know what, I saw there's water. Let us go there. They went, and Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha met them, and they asked her that, can we stay here? She said, yes, of course, you may stay here. But you will not own this land, but you may stay over here. This was her words. And subhanAllah, since that time, we see that Makkah has been populated since that time. So Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he was sent to the tribe of Jurhum, and to the people of Amaliq. And the people of Amaliq, right, they were people who would stay in the surroundings of Makkah al-Mukarramah, on the outskirts. They would stay there. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam was sent to them. He preached to them, guided them towards the right path as well. But of course, you know, some of them, they believed. Some of them, they did not believe. And with regards to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam as well, that there was no scripture revealed unto him.
Right.
There was no book, a holy book revealed unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, he followed that which was in the previous times. But however, there were certain commandments that he had been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon this, he carried it out.
Right.
And also, Munasab, you know, the beauty part of it is that Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he was young at the time. And narrations mentioned that he was a very handsome man, a very handsome individual, a very talented as well. And subhanAllah, when this tribe of Jurhum, when they settled...
It is also said once about Jurhum, that because he grew up in that tribe, he would speak Arabic.
Yes,
or else his mother tongue was ancient Coptic. Ancient Coptic. And this was the lingo and the language he would speak, and even Hebrew as well.
Ancient Coptic and Hebrew.
From his father's side, because his father, he would speak Hebrew.
Right.
And subhanAllah, but because of growing up in the Jurhum Qawm, as Mansab mentioned, that he even went towards their guidance to guide them towards righteous path. So then he would converse with them in Arabic language.
And it's mentioned also that he was the first to speak Arabic so eloquently, so fluent. He was the first, and through him, this language of Arabic became so popularized, and it spread to all parts of the world because of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. So this tribe of Jurhum, Of course, there is backstory to it as well. And because they settled in Makkatul Mukarramah.
The first tribe.
They were to populate Makkatul Mukarramah. Mm. And because of them seeing how Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is, his andaz, his character, his akhlaq, his manners, etiquette, him being honest, him being truthful, him keeping his promises, they married him off to one of the girls that were from that tribe, the tribe of Jurhum. So he married her off, and what happened after that was that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, his beloved father, he went out of Makkah to Mukarramah, and after some time he comes back to Makkah, and he goes to his son's house. When he knocks on the door, his wife opens the door. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam's wife, she opens the door, and he asks her that, where is Ismail? And she says that he's gone out, you know, to get some food for us. He's gone out to earn a living. And he says, okay, how is your state? How are you doing? How are you keeping? How is everything? And she says that our financial position is very bad, and we are in poverty. We're going through difficulties and going through hardships, and we can't, I can't really live in peace. You know, all of these concerns she brought forward. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, okay, when he comes back, then tell him that he must change the threshold of his door. He must change it. Of course, at that time, she didn't know what is being meant here. So she said, okay. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he comes back home, and he asks her, did anyone come today? She says, yes, an elderly person came and he gave his salams to you. She says, oh, okay. Did he say anything else? Did he give any advice, any nasiha? And she says, yes, I've mentioned to him. He asked how I was doing, how we're doing. I said our financial status is very bad and we're going through poverty and through hardships. And then he advised something and he said, I must tell you as well that you must change your threshold. You must change your doorstep.
Right.
And then he says, okay, well, that elderly person who actually came here, that was my beloved father.
Allahu Akbar.
And he has ordered me and told me to divorce you.
Allahu Akbar.
So I divorce you and you may go back to your family.
Allah, instantly, he didn't even think twice.
He didn't even ponder, or he wasn't worried about anything.
As long as his father said it,
I am going ahead with it. So he divorced her immediately. After some time, he got married again. And this time, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam came and he knocked on the door. And same setup as the first, same questions asked. But this time, it was quite different. When he asked, how are you keeping? What's your state like? Then the second wife of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said, Alhamdulillah, we are good and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. He asked her, what do you eat? She said, we eat meat. What do you drink? We drink water. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam then made dua for them that may Allah ta'ala grant you barakah in your meat. May Allah ta'ala grant you barakah in your water as well. And the narration says from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that had they had, at that time, they didn't have grains in their home. And if they had grains in their home, then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam would have made dua for blessings to be in that as well.
Allahu Akbar.
So then thereafter, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam tells her that, tell Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, when he comes back, he must keep the threshold of his door. He must keep the doorstep. So Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam comes back home and asks his wife, did anyone come today? She says, yes, an elderly person came. And he said that I must tell you to keep the doorstep of your home. And then Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said that that was my father and he has instructed me to keep you as my wife.
Subhanallah.
From this aspect of the life of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, we see and we learn that first and foremost that we have to note here that it's not befitting for the wife of a prophet to complain about poverty. Hence, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam told his son that change your doorstep. And when the second wife came, she was content. So here we see how important gratitude is, how important it is for the wife to show gratitude and to be content with what her husband 100%. Provides her. How important gratitude is for one to have, especially for husbands as well to have, but more for wives to have as well towards their husbands.
Something that we all expect, Ya Sayyidi. Mm-hmm. Gratitude, giving thanks, giving and showing appreciation are all good things.
100%.
It really makes the heart happy. It makes the husband want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the situation in many homes that for one argument, because and due to one little fight and quarrel, then water is put over all the good things that you have done over the years. And
all
then
the
wife
that you have
is
done.
Found saying that, yeah, in 20 years, you never did nothing good for me, you know. You never ever supported me. You never supported my children. It was my mother. It was my parents that were always standing there. Allahu Akbar. Every person know and would know their own pain.
100%.
Allah Kareem, make it asan and easy for all those married couples. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant sukoon, rahat, and solutions for the quarrels and arguments people may have in their homes. However, this parable that you mentioned, Sayyidi, subhanallah, is something really amazing. And I also believe ulama ikram and sufyan ikram would mention that the barakah and the blessings that's flowing due to the good deeds that you perform can be lost because of these complaints.
Na shukri. Yeah.
Ingratitude. Mm. It actually opens the angle of that, because as you mentioned, it does not befit the wife of a prophet to complain about their poverty, because her husband is the one guiding others towards righteousness, towards Islam, towards the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. On the other hand, by complaining and making it look like, you know, your husband never does anything good, and these are the days of moaning and groaning only, these are the days of complaint and poverty and destitution, and nothing good ever happens. But subhanAllah, those who cover their pain, cover their problems, and always have shukr upon their tongues. It is the divine promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, la in shakartum la azidannakum. So Allah Kareem will fulfill His promise. Allah Kareem will fulfill His promise. If His bandas are such, innahu kana sadiqal wa'ad.
SubhanAllah.
If Allah's servants and His prophets are on such caliber that they are praised in the Quran, Allah is saying, no, they are very truthful to their words. And what about the words of Allah, the promises of Allah?
Allah
Himself. SubhanAllah. Look at His amazing qualities and manifestations. SubhanAllah. So we would learn, Sayyidi, that our wives, our sisters out there who are to be wives tomorrow, our little children, what a beautiful message. What a beautiful message. Now, it doesn't mean now, as father-in-laws, we should go and tell our sons to go change your threshold and go change your door frame. It doesn't mean this is applicable to the father-in-laws out there to do this currently at this moment. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Allahu Akbar. But it is a sunnah of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to go and visit your son after they are married. We learn that, mashallah, fathers go and visit the children, mashallah.
Right.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and visit Bibi Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu
anha
after she was married. And from this amal, we learn that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also went to visit. It's not nice to leave it too long. Your daughters are married in a different home, new environment. Saal wa saal ho jate hain. There are some fathers who are very proud. I never put step in my daughter's house till today, you know.
I think it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. One person says, well, she loves this a stone throw away from you.
Right.
I don't go and visit her. Allah Kareem Rahmat ki nazar farmaye, khas nazar karam farmaye. Allah Azza wa Jalla, through the sadqa of beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shower mercy, rahmat and karam upon all of us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Another beautiful aspect of his life is that, Sayyidi, look at the fact that Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam helps his father. And he reached the age where he was able to carry rocks and stones and the material for building the Holy Kaaba. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. The Quran mentioned that he alayhi salam had reached certain age that now he's able to help his dad, his father, in the chores and the work, whatever work and task will be given to him. And subhanAllah, at that age, firstly, he given an answer. Master mentioned between 7 and 13. Ulama ikram and mufassireen, commentators of the Quran Park, have given various ages, right? Because of opinions. But subhanAllah, there we saw his honesty, his truthfulness. At such a young age, he made that promise. And this we learn, subhanAllah, that sons should be a help to their fathers. Aaj kal hamare bachche 20-30 saal ke ho jate apne baap کا ادب نہیں کرتے ہیں نہ اپنے باپوں کا وہ مدد کرتے ہیں. فادرز ہیو ٹو ورک ٹل دے سی دیئر ریٹائرمنٹ اینڈ ایون آفٹر ریٹائرمنٹ اٹ ڈزنٹ اینڈ, اٹس سٹریسفل فار فادرز. جب سے بندہ بچہ پیدا ہوا اور پیدائش سے لے کر کے کچھ باپوں کے لیے فار سم فادرز ٹل ایون دے ڈیتھ دے ہیو ٹو کنٹینیو پرووائڈنگ فار دیئر فیملی اینڈ بٹ ہیئر سبحان اللہ نبی اسماعیل علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام لیوز اس ود سچ اے گڈ میسج
ایٹ سچ
اے ینگ ایج دیٹ یو شڈ بی the strength of your father, be the hope and the sahara of your father, be the backbone of your father, be the coolness of his eyes. Subhanallah, if you look like him, if you talk like him, then try to be like him, mashallah, as well, in the sense of following the footsteps, the good footsteps of your father. And subhanallah, every child's first hero should be their dad, Sayyidi.
100%.
Actually, it is their fathers, you know.
Yes.
But providing that the fathers are namazis, parhezgar, muttaqi, God-fearing. Imagine, I'm saying this for a person whose father is a gambler, for example, and all wrong things a person does. It's not like that. We make dua that Allah Kareem grants hidayat and show us the righteous path, make us walk the righteous path. But subhanallah, a good message, and mashallah, so many examples from the life of Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanallah. And he is the first born to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha, who was the first wife of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, she had given birth to Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, who was to be a father of a prophet, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who was to be a prophet of his own son, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah.
So three prophets and so many other prophets to come, subhanallah, till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Huzuri Pak is also in the lineage of Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. All those blessings, any ek dua aap mangte rahe, oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, grant me a pious child, grant me a pious child, grant me a pious child, subhanallah. And Allah Kareem granted him a forbearing boy, mashallah, forbearing child, in whose nasl and progeny other messengers and prophets are to come, subhanallah. And such blessings, Sayyidi, subhanallah, throughout his life that we learn submissiveness, selflessness, sacrifices, subhanallah. Imagine you made dua for so many years to be blessed with your child, and now finally, in after you see 99 years of age, you become a father, subhanallah, and then you have a dream to go and leave your son and your daughter, your wife, in a barren place where there's no shade, where there's no trees, where there's mountains and rocky, trainy places like that.
And they are still content on that as well.
And they are content. See, so this is just amazing, Sayyidi. It's only a prophet of Allah and a son of a prophet who can give such profound answers, such unique and amazing answers. That subhanallah, leaving behind everything. Today, if you want to convince your son to go to the Darul Uloom to become alim, hafiz of Quran, we have to, subhanallah, you know, use different methods to convince them to understand the importance of doing so.
Right.
And here, subhanallah, even the wife, look at how submissive she was. Bibi Sara radiallahu anha, Bibi Hajra radiallahu anha. And when the order was for separating Hajra from the husband and for him to go and leave her far away, I mean, the moment she understood that this is an order from Allah to my beloved husband, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, to leave me here, because she asked him, on whose bharosa are you leaving me here? All alone. I mean, this concern anybody would have as a human. But the moment she learned it was from Allah Azza wa Jalla, there was no arguments. There was no quarrels. There was no fight. Look at her tawakkul in Allah.
Subhanallah.
If you say so, my Rabb will take care of me. And how Allah Azza wa Jalla, I mean, look at that water that was provided. There was no food to eat. There was nothing to drink. Her milk had dried up. Now, though the pani came, now where khajur is going to come from? Where dates going to come from? Where food is going to come from? So that water does the job of a food as well.
Two in one.
I mean, Islam is a beautiful religion and deen that also gives the background and the reasoning behind these occurrences. Subhanallah, the most ancient well of the world is Zamzam. Masab mentioned that if she did not gather the water together and make a little tide of a pool, this water would be a flowing water till the day of Qiyamah. Possible. Because nothing is impossible for Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
Nothing is impossible. He is capable to do anything of this nature. Ya Sayyidi. It is his planet, subhanallah. And what can be hidden from his sight? However, Masab, we have about next 15-20 minutes, we're going to be leading toward the ending of the program. So the meaning or the reason behind Ismail?
I think he asked for the meaning.
Meaning of Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam, mashallah. Can Masab shed some light on this matter?
Subhanallah, Masab. This is, you know, a very, once again, I must say, very beautiful question. Alhamdulillah. And
so often, many people keep the name Ismail, alayhi salam. Mashallah, with the nisbat of Ismail.
Alhamdulillah.
Ibrahim and Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, mashallah, all these prophetic names, alayhi salatu wasalam, are so famous.
Yes.
And usually people who keep these names keep it with this niyyah, that mm-hmm. this is a prophet's name. With this hope that my child will also attain barakah and faizan and blessings from the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, mashallah, go for it, Mahasab. You mentioned Ismail
so,
means.
Mahasab, if we have to break down this name, right?
Right.
We see, we know it as Ismail, right? But it's mentioned that when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child, then he would say, Isma'ya'i.
Acha.
So Isma is Arabic, of course, and it means to listen to me or to accept what I'm saying. And Ya'il, the eel is from the Hebrew language.
Wow.
So if it will mean that, Ya Allah, please accept my supplication that I'm making to you.
Oh, yani Isma Ya'il.
Isma Ya'il. This is what?
Isma Ya'il.
So this is what Sayyidina...
Listen to me, O my Lord.
Yes, listen to me, O my Lord. And this is what Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam would make when he would be making dua, because he always wanted a child. And he would say, Isma Ya'il, that please listen to me,
Allah,
or please accept
Allah,
my supplication Allah. Of Allah. And so after Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, when he was born, then due to that nisba and due to that relation, he named him Ismail. So subhanAllah, this is the reasoning behind the name of Ismail, and this is what Ismail means when you break it up. Isma Ya'il.
Mashallah.
So we have Ismail, Masab, which is the name of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and also his title is Dhabihullah. You know, the one who was willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama ikram have mentioned that why is his title Dhabihullah? Because when he heard from his beloved father that you are going to be a sacrifice and I'm about to slaughter you, he didn't question, he didn't say why, but immediately, in an instant, without any hesitation, he said, Labbaik, I'm ready. So because of that, his title is also Dhabihullah. And we learn from this that when it comes to giving names to children, then they should also be given good names with good meanings. You know, nowadays we see that everyone wants to give their children fancy names, Masab. You know, those names which are very, very unique, that are out of this world. And sometimes they give their children such names which are really out of this world, and it has no meaning. And then it's just null and void. I mean, it's just an empty word. It's an empty name that doesn't have a meaning to it. But rather, we should give names after the noble prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Ahlul Bayt, the Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they say that it's mentioned names, they do carry an effect into one's personality. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give good names to your children, because they will be called on the day of Qiyamah by the name that they are given.
MashaAllah.
So one shouldn't be given all, you know, unique names.
Fancy names, nicknames, and home names, and shop names, and different names.
Pet names. And
Allahu Akbar. So Alhamdulillah, the dua of Nabi Ibrahim actually became the name of his son after his birth.
SubhanAllah.
So from Isma'il, it became Ismail. MashaAllah. So if anyone wants to name his son Ismail, this is one of the best names you can choose. It would just ulama, as ulama ikram have advised, just add the name of Rasulullah before. Muhammad Ismail. So you have the nisbah, the connection with the Prophet's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with that, with the second Prophet, which is Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam as well. You need two different Prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and connection with them. It is hope that your son and your child would do well, inshallah, through the blessings. Subhanallah. Mahasab can shed some light on his blessed attributes. Something, some qualities of his mentioned in the Holy Quran part, maybe, inshallah.
Well, Mahasab, when we look at the life of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, right? The quality that really stands out, one of his many qualities, we find about regarding his honesty, his truthfulness, and especially the part where he would always keep to his promises. Whenever he would say something, he would mean it, and he would make sure that his promise is fulfilled. And on one occasion, as you've mentioned, that beautiful narration, that just shows that how sincere he was
exactly.
in his promise.
No doubt.
He stood there, despite, I mean, 3 days to wait at one place just to uphold your word.
no doubt.
Just to uphold your promise. And that's truly, truly remarkable. And from this, you know, we learn that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of the signs of a hypocrite is that he, when he makes a promise, then he breaks that promise. So Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is showing us how important it is for us to keep our promises. I mean, this was an incident that happened in his life. It didn't happen for no reason at all. Of course, it happened for a reason, because whatever happens in the lives of the blessed prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are as a means of guidance for each and every one of us to follow into. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he is teaching us about honesty and truthfulness. That was one aspect.
Right.
The other aspect is that he was obedient to his father. He was respectable to his beloved father. When his father, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, came to him and told him that, oh my son, you see this place over here where there is like a hill? That place, we need to build the Kaaba. Will you help me? And the son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, it's truly amazing because he doesn't question. He doesn't say, ah, man. He doesn't say, oh, he doesn't say, why? Nothing. No remarks, no questions. He says, oh, my beloved father, I will definitely help you. And so he goes, he passes the rocks to his father, and his father builds the Kaaba, etc.
He went to fetch the stone.
Yeah, he would go.
He went to fetch the stone for Hajar Aswad especially.
Yes, 100%.
And that's when the stone himself was inviting him towards him, that I am from Jannah, you can come and fetch me.
At the mount of Abu Qubais.
Abu Qubais, yes,
Subhanallah. So even here, Munasab, we learn, especially for children, and the lessons children can take here is for them to be obedient to their parents. Of course, if parents have to tell them something wrong to do, then they shouldn't be obedient in that matter. But if their parents tell them something good to do, then they should be obedient to their parents. And one more important thing, Munasab, regarding this aspect, that Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he was obedient to his parents, right? What happens in our time, that way you get parents, the mother and the father, they are both arguing, they are both disputing amongst each other. Then the child, what does the child do then? Which side does the child take? Does the child take the mother's side? Does the child take the father's side? And subhanAllah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he mentioned that in such a case, the child should not take the mother's side nor the father's side. The child takes the mother's side, father gonna get hurt. Child take father's side, mother gonna get hurt. So the child should not even involve themselves in the disputes that the parents are having. So this is also one of the guidelines for children to follow, especially, and for them to be obedient to the parents. That was point number two, Munasab.
Right.
That the lesson that we can gain from it.
SubhanAllah.
And the third one that we gain, Munasab, is that children should be submissive, should show submissiveness to their parents, in the sense that when children are obedient to their parents, then they gain the pleasure of Allah. And when children are disobedient to their parents, then they gain the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, we learn from the relationship between father and son, that whatever request the father put forward, the son wholeheartedly accepted, never made an oof about it. So even here, too, in today's time, when parents should also teach their children that we have to be submissive to our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must be taught about the attributes of Allah.
No doubt.
About the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of this will make them into better human beings, mold them into becoming better Muslims.
Ameen,
as well.
Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallah, they are families who are suffering with their awlads, with their children. Bacche to bacche, yahi bacche jab bade ho jate hai, phir itna sataate hai, itna sataate hai, that they become really a headache and nerve-wracking to their parents.
Children
to such an extent, kyunki bacche hain abhi chote hain, unko chhod diya jaye, unki tarbiyat nahi ki jati hai. They aren't given the proper training due to which they then turn around to such an extent. The ma baap samajh nahi paate hamare bachche ko ho kya gaya hai, what jinnat khwati hai, what shaitan khwati hai, baat manta hi nahi hai, paise chori pe chori kiya ja raha hai, huh? He's taking money without ijazat, he's doing his own things, he puts a gun to our head, he manipulates situation. How will such a son ever take advice, even if you're giving the proper advice? So they need to be rectified, they need to be reformed, and don't have so much of yaqeen in your child whom you have spoiled in his infant days.
Childhood.
But the best toys mangne se pehle wo khilona uske haath mein hai. Yehi bachcha jab bada ho jata hai, jab badi cheezein nahi milti hai, then he loses his mind that I lived a life like that, you know. So if he lived a spoiled childhood, he's looking for a very spoiled future as well. Whereas there's nothing that's he's ever going to appreciate in his life. Teach him how to give shukr for the little things we may have in life. And when you don't have it, how to do without it.
Yes.
Subhanallah.
That's more important.
Actually. Very important, actually. I agree with Maulana Sahib. However, look at his father. Humbleness from day one. Business is farming. Business is herding goats. Business is selling clothes. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is how he raised his children, subhanallah, when he became a father. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam done that. Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam practiced archery. He liked this. It is his sunnah, subhanallah. And anyone who likes to do archery, it is a great thing to learn, mashallah. It's a nice thing to practice, even the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But subhanallah, this gives evidence that this great prophet of Allah, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, would practice this frequently. And he was a hunter as well, who would, you know, subhanallah, he would hunt. So there are riwayat regarding this, subhanallah. And archery is a sunnah, subhanallah. Many, many other reports related to this as well, subhanallah. We are speaking about archery, mashallah. And it is the sunnah of Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, mashallah. And emphasized by Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Salama ibn Aqwa, radiyallahu an, he has mentioned about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That Huzuri Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam has approached a group from the tribe of Aslam, were practicing archery at that moment. So a group of people was approached by Rasulullah, who were practicing archery in the market. So he said, "O children of Ismail, shoot arrows as your father was an archer."
Subhanallah.
Shoot arrows as your father was an archer. And I am in the other group. He ﷺ declared, "I'm from the other group." So they stopped. They were practicing archery at that moment. Like jab ye baat suna ki aap kisi dusre group se hain, they stopped. So he asked sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kya hua? Why did you stop?" So they mentioned, "Because aapne ye farmaya tha ki aap dusre group se hain, you from the other group, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to hamari kya majal ki hum aapke samne ye practice kare? We may practice archery before you, yet you mentioned that you're not part of this group that practice archery." So Huzuri Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "I am with you all.
Subhanallah.
Tumhare saath hi hu. Practice what you are practicing. Subhanallah, because this is what your father Ismail would do." So many of our pious predecessors were also masters in archery as well, mashallah. It's a very good subject in today's day and age as well. I know many parents out there who teach their children archery. And there are proper classes these days given. Anything you would like to say regarding this matter?
Actually, Masab, you know, oftentimes youngsters especially, they would involve themselves into different activities. And archery is one activity that brings about benefit. And, you know, this is sunnah as well to practice archery, swimming, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that teach swimming to your children, and also horse riding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. So we should try, especially in this time and age, try to learn these beautiful activities that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us. And also, Masab, with regards to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, I know we just have about just a few minutes left before we can conclude. Just one more interesting fact with regards to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is that he had 12 sons, Masab. He had 12 sons, and his children, they actually spread in the east, west, north, and south. All four directions, his children, they spread all over, all around Arabia and outside of that as well. And it's mentioned that Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he lived right up until the age of 130 years old. And is also being laid to rest at the Hatim area that we see today. And these narrations wherein even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that in the haram itself, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are buried there.
Yeah, one narration mentioned between Rukne Yamani and Rukne Aswad.
Look at that.
So where the black stone is and Rukne Yamani facing Yaman, between this line here, around 70 prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla could be resting there. Alhamdulillah. And where the Mizan is, where Mizan bin Rahmat is, the Hatim area, his Qabr Mubarak could be there as well. Allah knows best their exact number. But subhanAllah, we learn that Allah Kareem had made the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salam the musalla.
Subhanallah.
Min maqam Ibrahim musalla. So the maqam, the footprint of the pious becomes a musalla, then what can be said about the place where they actually rest? Allahu Akbar, where they are making aram. Masab, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you brought some good points to the table, mashallah, to discuss, to mention, to speak about, and for us to be reminded that we have some homework to do.
Yes.
And this year will repeat itself. If we have only learned one thing, how to buy animal and how to slaughter animal in this month, then we have not learned anything much. Animal is your luck that, subhanAllah, its hair and every hair on his body is expiation for our sins. Just imagine. This is through the sadqa and wasila that he made his dream come true. When are we going to make our dreams come true?
Allah, Allah.
He attained the pleasure of Allah through sacrificing, and Allah has given you and I an opportunity to follow that sunnah and get rewards like you are sacrificing your own son. Yani, do anything from your heart. The presence of the heart is exceedingly important. It has to be from the qalb, from the heart. And yes, this means that we need to see beyond rituals. It's a ritual that comes every year. You and I need to look beyond that and sacrifice from our heart for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay tuned with Madani Channel. Until tomorrow, stay good, be good, do good, and wherever you are, keep reciting durood and salawat upon Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A journey of a lifetime. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of hearts through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.